Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, October 10th. I'm Abby Larico. When she arrived in St. Louis, Ashley Johnson became the first woman to be the special agent in charge of the FBI's St. Louis field office.
Never thought about just being the first, but it's very humbling.
You'll hear more from Johnson after this news on The Gateway. Missouri emergency responders are headed to Florida to help those impacted by Hurricane Milton. Wednesday, Governor Mike Parson ordered 100 members of the National Guard, 21 highway patrol troopers and staff, and 5 Missouri disaster medical assistance workers to Florida in response to the state's request for assistance. In a statement, the governor's office said preparations are underway for the crews to arrive after the storm's immediate threats have passed. They will be deployed for up to 20 days. Extensions and additional rounds of help will be based on local needs and in coordination with other emergency organizations. The deployment will cost about $1.6 million, mostly from the governor's discretionary emergency fund, and could potentially be reimbursed by the federal government. The city of St. Louis is seeing lower than expected revenue from the sale of recreational marijuana. Officials had projected the city would raise $2.4 million, or about $200,000 a month, in the current fiscal year. But Budget Director Paul Payne told a meeting of the city's Appropriations Committee Wednesday that the numbers are lagging.
We were very close for the first time. I believe that would be last month. We just under $200,000. But prior to that, It had been ramping up, but it had been averaging about $150,000.
Legislation on the mayor's desk would allow dispensaries to stay open until 10 p.m. Current regulations require them to close at 8 p.m. St. Louis University is facing a budget deficit of tens of millions of dollars, and it's forcing all divisions to cut expenses by 4% this fiscal year. St. Louis Public Radio's Aula Kaziz reports the deficit is largely due to a sharp drop in international student enrollment.
A year ago, SLU admitted more than 1,000 new international grad students on campus, most of them paying full tuition. This semester, the university enrolled only 300 international students. CFO David Heimberger says the U.S. government issued far fewer visas to international students this year. He says SLU now has to make difficult financial decisions.
We really need to change some permanent behavior, in terms of our expense control. This is not just a 1 year and we're done and everything's going to be perfect. I don't want to portray that to be the case.
The Jesuit University plans to cut $20 million this year by implementing a near-total hiring freeze and downsizing academic and administrative programs. I'm Arla Kaziz, St. Louis Public Radio.
Most St. Louis Public Schools students are making it to school on time, despite relying on a patchwork system of transportation, a top administrator said this week. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
Chief Operations Officer Square Watson told the school board that almost 85% of students are making it to and from school on time. The district is relying on over 19 vendors to transport students after its main school bus provider canceled its contract. On top of all this, Director of Transportation Toyin Akinola plans to retire on October 31st. Watson says the district is coming up with a plan to prevent transportation shortfalls for next year.
We do have 19 plus vendors right now that we utilize for transportation, and our goal is we're still going to use the multi-vendor approach. However, we are looking for buses.
In January, SLPS will ask parents to notify the district if they need transportation so officials can better plan routes for the next school year. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Nearly 60% of Illinois Education Association members are considering leaving their profession. That's according to a survey taken this summer by the IEA, the state's largest teachers union. Amber Sims is a pre-K teacher in the Alton School District. She's also a single mom with 4 children of her own.
On my teacher salary alone, I just don't make enough. So summertime, I do tutoring. I have in the past worked summer school as well. In the past, I have also done 21st Century, which is an after-school tutoring program offered in our district.
The IEA survey says 65% of teachers considering leaving the profession are doing so because they don't make enough money. IEA President Al Lorenz says this data should set off alarm bells, as there's already a teacher shortage in Illinois and nationwide. Recently in Missouri, state officials removed more than 40,000 pounds of invasive carp from the Lamine River that's a tributary to the Missouri. It's important that silver carp populations be managed in smaller streams, according to Jim Garvey. He's the director for the Southern Illinois University Center for Fisheries, Aquaculture, and Aquatic Sciences.
Yeah, we're kind of talking about a species that's kind of like a cancer that it just keeps spreading, and you're trying to control it, but it's in so many different places. And so trying to come up with sort of a silver bullet has been the challenge for resource managers throughout the U.S.
Missouri officials say in the September outing, they eliminated more carp than ever before. Laclede's Landing continues to see redevelopment with the completion of a new park steps away from the riverfront. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports on the Laclede's Landing Active Art Park, which volunteers built yesterday.
Get in there. Around 80 volunteers assembled flower beds, benches, and sculptures that now occupy two previously vacant lots. It's the latest installation by Pocket Parks, a local nonprofit that has built similar parks in other parts of the city. Samantha Smagala is the president and founder of Pocket Parks.
These lots, they're not really prone for development because of potential flooding. So let's activate the space in a way that makes sense, an outdoor space, a public space that people can come to and really get to spend time next to our beautiful riverfront.
Smagala says the new park is an example of how small projects can go a long way. The park took less than 3 hours to build and only cost around $11,000. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Before she came to St. Louis on September 9th to be the new special agent in charge of the local FBI field office, Ashley Johnson spent most of her career in the South. She started a squad at the Atlanta airport and founded an internal leadership development program for the city's field office. Johnson told St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman that her previous postings taught her to value the people working for her.
In the month that I've been here, I have really learned that what I say and what I do has impact, and I have to be very diligent with that, be respectful, and make sure that I'm always advocating for and representing the people I lead.
Violent crime is obviously a priority for people in whatever FBI office. Where does FBI in St. Louis fit in regionally to that equation here?
We have a number of dedicated resources just nationally and internationally to try to combat violent crime. Certainly as the SAC here in St. Louis, that is one of my top priorities, not only within the FBI, but working with our local and state partners in order to mitigate crime. I also want to make sure that we're being proactive in deterring or preventing actual crime from happening. That happens with engagement with the community. I'm in a position now where I'm just listening to understand what they need, also communicating what the FBI's position is and what we can offer to them as well.
And what are you hearing from them as to the best ways that you can support your law enforcement and your community partners?
I think engaging them from the beginning, not waiting till a crime happens, right? Even though we're an investigative law enforcement agency, a big part of the FBI as a whole, and here in St. Louis certainly, is our community outreach.
How does your background in social work now inform the work that you do in law enforcement?
It's a good question. I was a probation officer, so my first job coming out of college was in law enforcement. And as a probation officer, you're looking at individuals who've made their way to, they're in the criminal justice system now, right? And so you really start to understand them as people. They committed the crime, there's accountability for that, but how did they get there? And so that's what I think informs me a lot, understanding kind of just not the action, but understanding the thought behind the action, understanding people, listening to people, understanding what their needs are, and giving them the resources to have that.
You are the first woman to lead the St. Louis office full time. Does it feel as much of a milestone to you as it does to those of us who may be noticing it as members of the media?
You know, I was telling this story. It's funny. So when I applied to St. Louis, I didn't know that I was the first female, or would be the first female if selected. And it wasn't really till I came here before I officially relocated here, and we had Family Day, or St. Louis had Family Day. And a lot of the employees here, they would introduce me to their young daughters or young sons. It's like, she's the first female, you know, to ever come to this office. So I think it hit me at that point, seeing the picture on the wall. It's like, it's like, oh, okay. It's humbling. Law enforcement is a male-dominated field, particularly in the FBI, right? And if you look at numbers. So being able to see yourself in those roles, I think, is very important. I've had those opportunities along the way and was inspired by it, but never thought about just being the first, never thought about that, but it's very humbling.
When and if you leave St. Louis, for whatever means or reason, what do you hope that your legacy as special agent in charge of this office is?
Legacy of fairness, you know, that I created a fair workplace where everyone feels valued, that what they bring to the table is appreciated. I would love a legacy for the community to see the FBI. It's not just a law enforcement agency, but as a partner.
That was Special Agent in Charge Ashley Johnson speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman. You can check out a longer version of this interview at sclpr.org. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.